Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Excuse me. This is Jimmy Kemsky from Bleeding Radiation. I work for Philly Voice. Brandon Lee Gowton,
once upon a time,
from Bleeding Green Nation, is here with me, and we are recording episode number 294 of BGN Radio. We're going to get to some Eagles news. We'll profile Eagles Giants ahead of their Sunday afternoon matchup, and then we'll make our picks as we always do at the end of the week here. Brandon, what's going on, buddy?
Jimmy, I have to tell you about our presenting sponsor before I get into how I'm feeling. So everyone wait with bated breath to hear that answer after I tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. It is the place to go when betting on the NFL this holiday season. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code 5Questions. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 back in free bets if they do. That's code 5Questions only at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And state-specific responsibly gambling resources, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued as free bets, one boost per eligible game, opt-in required, 10-plus leg required for 100% boost, deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms!
I'll give it a B-plus again. Do you have to do that on the other podcast, too? The NFC East one?
No, it's just for this one, Jimmy, which is also brought to you by Right to Sell and Craft Jerky. I'll keep this one simpler. RightToSell.com. Discount code BGN20 right now for 20% off the best snacks you can get. And also, Jimmy, to answer your question, I'm doing just great.
All right. The Eagles got Jordan Davis back from injured reserve last week. And then this week, they are poised to get Fonte Maddox back from injured reserve. We won't find out if that's official until Saturday at 4 o'clock. He will wait until then to actually promote those guys from injured reserve back to the regular roster. But they did activate the 21-day practice window for him to return. Next week, Dallas Goedert will be eligible to return from IR. He seemed to think that he will indeed be ready when his time is here, which is good news, of course. I think this return of Avante Maddox is actually kind of a big deal because, you know, each of the last 4 weeks, teams have picked on Josiah Scott with their best receiver. They put their best receivers in the slot and sort of tried to basically fabricate matchups against him, and they had success with it. Now, Josiah Scott wasn't necessarily a disastrous liability.
Right.
I thought he was okay, fine-ish.
Relative but certainly to expectation,
Teams looked to attack him, and they did so. Even the Titans, like the one big play that they had in that game was against him with Treylon Burks. So the return of Avante Maddox, who may be a little bit of an underrated player here in Philadelphia, has had some injury issues over the years, but when he's healthy, he's good. He'll be a big return to a secondary that, by the way, Brian Daboll today said that Darius Slay and James Bradbury are the best cornerback duo in the NFL. And then when you add Maddox to that group, who in my opinion is one of the best slot corners in the NFL, I mean, it's just going to be all that much harder for teams to pass on the Eagles. We'll get to this later, of course, but the Giants are one of the most run heavy teams in the NFL. So, you know, we had mentioned on the last podcast that maybe don't rush Maddox back and maybe don't play him as much as you normally might in a game down the stretch here. Let him kind of ease back in perhaps because his injury is a hamstring. So those tend to linger. So if he's not really like absolutely 100%, don't need to push it with him, but certainly a good news for the Eagles that he's back.
I definitely think that's where the practice window can kind of come in handy with him in terms of you could actually get to evaluate how he does in practice this week. Mm-hmm. And that's something you probably kind of need to see before you activate him, as opposed to a Dallas Goedert, the nature of his shoulder injury. He probably is like confident in predicting he'll be back because he can feel it's healing and he'll be good. It's not like he needs to like go out and practice and like test the shoulder. You know, he feels ready to play. He'll be good. Whereas Maddox mm-hmm. might need a little bit more of a, you know, a testing period to see if he indeed will be ready. I do think the Eagles waiving Andre Chachere, who has nickel corner background experience in addition to playing safety and special teams, that seems to be kind of like a positive indicator to me that they feel like Maddox is trending in a good direction.
Right.
They brought Chachere back on the practice squad. If they want to sign him back to the roster, if they need to, they feel like Maddox isn't ready. They really can. They can't temporarily elevate him because they've already done that three times this year. Although I guess they can, but then he goes to waivers, whatever. In any case, Maddox allowing just a 77.5 pass rating when targeted this year, Jimmy. So pretty good. By contrast, Josiah Scott allowing a 107.9 pass rating. So certainly a significant downgrade and would be good for the Eagles' sake to get Maddox back.
We are recording this, by the way, on Thursday morning. Did you saw that Sashree's back, right? They signed him back to the practice
squad. It's 1:50 in the afternoon.
Oh, it's that.
And also, I just said they brought him back on the practice squad.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that. I thought you said that. I don't know what. I guess what you said after that seemed to make me think that you didn't know that he had signed back to the practice squad. Anyway, whatever.
No, you did.
It's also not the morning.
Yeah, what are you saying over here?
It feels like the morning to me for some reason.
1:50. I'm like, you made me like look at the time. I'm like, wait, is it? Anyway, in addition to
all these days are running together for me.
It's okay, Jimmy. I'll forgive you. But the other moves we have to get to. We already mentioned Chachere in there. Robert Quinn to injured reserve. Which is really funny because the tweet that first reported that, I believe it was by Tom Pelissero, was like, he's coming on. No, he's not. He was most definitely not coming on into form by any means. So Robert Quinn, obviously been very disappointing, continuing this trend of Eagles trade deadline moves that have not been good. I guess the hope is that like he gets this time off and maybe that'll serve him well and he can come back and he will be healthier and he can give you something. If we're talking about Ryan Kerrigan, you know, and him following that template, Ryan Kerrigan, useless in the regular season, randomly great in the one playoff game he played in.
Yeah, Quinn has what, 2 tackles and 2 QB hits in 5 games here, so he's been almost totally invisible. I think if like your glass half full, you go, okay, well maybe the knee was bothering him, and now after the scope, after he gets it cleaned out, then he can be effective when he's fully healthy again. He can actually be closer to what he was for the Bears in 2021 when he had 8. How do you go from 18.5 sacks to what he looks like right now? It's crazy. So, you know, again, glass half full, you know, maybe he becomes that player. Glass half empty is now you have this injury on top of maybe he wasn't hurt at all before.
And
the tweak that he experienced in Friday's practice last week only just adds to the frustration with him so far. It's funny you mentioned the Tom Pelissero tweet. A bunch of the Eagles beat writers, which isn't really that common. Like, you know, we're not really like making fun of people all that much. But yeah, they're all kind of goofing on that tweet about him starting to quote unquote come on as a player for the Eagles. And the other thing that I think that tweet said was
it's like playing time has gone down.
He was adjusting to the scheme. Yeah. He was finally just getting used to the scheme as if like rushing the passer in obvious pass rushing situations really requires a lot of scheme knowledge. particularly for a guy who's been in the league for 12 years. So, like, yeah, that was some high quality water carrying. I think actually Pelissero does a pretty good job overall.
Sure, I'm not taking a shot at him. I'm saying the notion is just very transparently silly. It was like when Adam Schefter, I still remember this, tweeted back in 2020 training camp that Andre Dillard was dominant before he suffered his season-ending injury. No, he wasn't. And first of all, like the way it was phrased at the time, it wasn't like he heard. It wasn't like coaches were saying he was dominant. He said he was dominant as if Adam Schefter was like there and knew that to be true, which he was not. It's just like so. And it's just, it was also very transparently not true based on what everyone else was seeing at a camp anyway. It's just kind of funny to me.
If the people who that's designed to fool are ever actually fooled by any of that nonsense.
Who is it designed to fool? Like,
I think other teams around the league, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Fans, maybe.
I guess. In any case, a related move, the Eagles activated Janarius Robinson from injured reserve, which, if you don't recall, listener, the Eagles signed him to their roster from the Vikings practice squad ahead of week two. And he was on the roster for a bit, didn't play at all. And then somehow, I guess, got hurt in practice very conveniently when Andre Dillard was ready to return to the roster and they needed to clear up a spot for him. And they put Janarius Robinson in IR. And it almost seemed like, okay, they're just stashing him. It's almost basically like another practice squad guy. Mm-hmm. But they opened his window well before Robert Quinn ever, you know, got hurt, unless this is a plan thing because Robert Quinn didn't have a bye and they kind of wanted to get him rest at some point. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But in any case, Janarius Robinson, draft picked last year, hasn't played a single snap in the NFL yet. I guess maybe he'll get like some snaps here because maybe he'll take on a little bit of the Quinn role. Anything of intrigue for you about Janarius Robinson?
I mean, he was a fourth round pick, and he's got some, height, weight, speed, traits that are appealing. I don't know that he's going to, maybe he plays this week. Who knows?
Sure.
Because they could use an extra defensive end. They have the six defensive tackles, but they theoretically are a little thin. I mean, I guess the only defensive ends they have right now are BG and Sweat.
Full time.
And if you want to throw Reddick in the conversation, sure. Mm. He may very well play this week. We'll see, but yeah, it's an interesting player. And I don't think they would have activated him if they didn't have plans for him.
Sure.
I guess their window was almost up.
It was up literally the day before, or sorry, the day after he was activated. Yeah.
So it was day 20 of the 21 day window. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, I would guess that he plays this week.
Sure. I would think so.
Which will be interesting.
It will. I think it's fair to criticize the Robert Quinn trade in that, like, I think there's an argument to be made, and this isn't just hindsight. You were saying at the time, like a Rasheem Green or someone who might be like undervalued or might have a little bit more upside. I think you could have, swung the other way on that. And in this case, regardless, what's done is done with Quinn. But now you have a chance to see what this young guy has, maybe in limited snaps. And hey, maybe he's worth playing more. Maybe he'll show something. And maybe not. I'm not expecting. I don't think that's likely to happen. But I think that you have such a strong roster and such a strong pass rush rotation. I think you can afford a couple snaps here and there, see if he's actually, any good. And then if he is, just keep playing him. So we'll see.
And they've had some of their DTs line up outside on occasion. Not that much, but Milton's done it. Fletcher Cox has done it at times. But yeah, I'd be interested in getting a look. And then in the non-news portion of this podcast, but certainly...
it's a rumor.
Worthy of discussion, speculation, we'll call it. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk said that the Eagles, I'm sorry, watch, quote unquote, watch.
I will read the tweet for you, Jimmy.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I think the whole context is important. I mean, I'm sure people have seen this, but if you haven't, last year when the OBJ free agency sputtered, we said, quote, watch the Rams, end quote. As this year's OBJ free agency sputters, I'll say this, watch the Eagles.
I was already tired of the OBJ stuff. Like a month ago, like when the Eagles weren't even involved, when it was basically just the Cowboys and the Giants that were involved. And then I think later the Bills were added to the equation. And we're talking about a play. I mean, he did legitimately help the Rams win a Super Bowl last year in the playoffs. Like he had a good couple of games leading up to the Super Bowl. I think he got hurt pretty early in the Super Bowl, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
But certainly helped them get there. In the regular season, he had like 40 some odd catches for 500 some odd yards and 5 touchdowns in 14 games. So the breathless reporting over this type of player, who also, by the way, I mean, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl, which
in mid-February. Yeah.
We're in December. So like we're talking about what, 10 months removed from the ACL tear, which what's that?
Do you hear that noise? Someone started jackhammering outside my window.
Oh, so that's really you. Okay.
I'll just mute my microphone when I'm not talking.
I don't hear it. Okay. Anyway.
You don't hear it because I muted it. I said I'm going to mute my microphone when I'm not talking.
Well, the breathless reporting over him has been out of control for, you know, this level of player who is coming off a major injury. And then the Cowboys had, I guess Jerry Jones had said, I believe it was a radio appearance. I'm not totally sure on that, but he'd said, it was reported that he said that he kind of alluded to the idea that he wasn't going to, that OBJ was not going to be, you know, able to play at all in 2022. So, you know, who knows if this Eagles interest in OBJ is real. Nick Sirianni got asked about it, of course. I think it was Tim McManus that asked him, like, you know, what his take on it was. And Nick Sirianni basically said that this is the best group of receivers that he's ever worked with in his NFL coaching career. Certainly didn't give the speculation any more, I guess, any more breath, but didn't completely shoot it down either. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see if there's any real interest here or not. Maybe it's just the Eagles kind of screwing with the Cowboys and the Giants, like leaking it themselves to who knows. But it is a sort of a weird thing to pop up when the Eagles do already have a very good wide receiving group, in addition to Dallas Goedert, who's going to be back from injury reserve in a week. But you know how he does this kind of thing, where if there is a skilled player available who can help and is an upgrade over somebody on the roster, he's always going to explore it. So it's certainly worth watching. It's not a report or whatever you want to call it that I would completely dismiss.
I mean, I agree. I mean, you set the Florio set the context of they, you know, had a good read on it last year, and. Maybe.
Oh, now I hear the jackhammering.
Yeah, I know it's tough. Sorry, but like I don't know what to do when they.
It's all right. I think it's okay. You probably hear it a lot more than me or the listeners.
So you know, on what was it? I forget the days here, like you did. But earlier this week, whenever Baker Mayfield got claimed on that day, I mean, Florio was the first person I saw on that day to be like, because it was at like noon when he said it. Hey, watch Baker to the Rams. Like, look out for that. Watch Baker to the Rams. And then sure enough, at 4, Adam Schefter was the first one to actually report that that's what had happened. I don't think
they were the
like...
only team to put it a claim in, too, by the way.
Okay,
him.
See? Yeah. So I don't think... I'm not saying like that was super unthinkable to happen, but it was a pretty good like call. I didn't see anyone else saying that definitively as he was. So, you know, that kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. Like, I think, you know, Florio is kind of in a weird spot where he's not Schefter or one of these people, but he does hear things and he has sources, so he's connected to the league and has been for a long time. So it's again,
he rubs a lot of people the wrong way, and a lot of people like dismiss what he says, but he does legitimately get info pretty often.
Yeah, so you know, you can't just be like, oh, it's Florio, it's fake. No, I would not say that. It's coming from somewhere. I don't know where that is, but and it's weird because you know, there's so much hype about him going to the Cowboys. It seemed like a fait accompli, if you will. Like it seemed like, and that's why I was saying to RJ, I'm like, just sign him already. Why do you need to like 50 reports about, oh, he's going to sign with the Cowboys? Just sign him. Like, why do we need 50 reports about it? It's just an obnoxious flirtation. So it was a weird, like, stark contrast in tone when they're just like, actually, it might not be ready. And it's weird to me how it was not until he got to the Cowboys when it was, oh, actually, he might be able to play. Because why wasn't that being leaked when he was with the Giants or with the Bills? You know, that nothing about that was coming out back then. I almost wonder if it's a leverage play from the Cowboys to kind of like downplay his market and then make it be like, well, guess you're just going to have to sign here because no one else is going to want you.
Not cool, by the way. And I agree. Florio actually pointed this out, yeah, too, where like he should legitimately be very pissed off.
Sure.
That Jerry Jones seemed to actively try to hurt his value on the market.
And maybe that's where the Eagles come in, because it's like, well, yeah, you're going to do that to us. You're going to be able to play hardball here. Well, we're going to put out there that one of your other division rivals might end up with him instead. So, you know, there might be some kind of game going here behind the scenes. I don't think it's likely, but I guess there's a scenario kind of like the Ravens signed Deshaun Jackson to their practice squad and the Cowboys had signed Jason Peters to their practice squad, mm-hmm, where maybe you bring him in on that kind of basis at first,
yeah,
with the plans to eventually get him on the roster or something. I don't know. I think it's more unlikely than it is likely to happen. But if I had to put chances on it, I would say like, I don't know, like 10%.
Yeah, I'd go lower, yeah, it's not zero. I don't think it's zero. So, I mean, we'll see. There was another report that said like on the practice squad report, there's somebody put out there, I forget who it was, that he was asking for something in the ballpark of $20 million a year. Like he was actually looking for more, mm-hmm, of a long-term deal than just to finish out this season, which, right, LOL on that one.
Like, that's not like, even who's believable. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, that's not going to happen for sure. Yeah, if you could sign him to the practice squad, if you're the Eagles, right, there's no risk in that whatsoever. Go right ahead. By all means, sign that guy to the practice squad.
Sure. I do agree with you. I don't see it from the fit standpoint. And I was talking to, I think it was Ed Valentine on the Giants, the Bleak Blue View podcast network. Like, I think people think about things not always in the right way, or I'll say like more of the Madden way, where like, is Odell Beckham Jr. a better player than Zach Pascal? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
We can agree. Like, mm-hmm, I think most people agree on that. But that's not the equation. You have to consider Zach Pascal is here to do a role, which is to, mm-hmm, block a lot, be selfless, and play special teams. Mm-hmm. Is Odell Beckham Jr. bringing those things? No.
He's going to do none of those things.
And if he's not, then who is doing that? So, yeah, like, and not to say you can't have Pascal and OBJ on the team, but, like, you know, you have to create a roster spot. So it's, I just don't think it's that simple.
Yeah,
and
somebody's got to lose snaps to get him on the field.
That's the thing. Like, and let's say Goddard gets back. So you have your big three back in terms of targets. Is OBJ, mm-hmm, really happy not being in that big three and clearly being on the you know, the outskirts of that? So, right, I have a hard time seeing it from just the logical standpoint, but I agree with you in that I can't rule it out from the Howie Roseman, like, and especially this year, especially after adding Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh and everyone else, I can't rule it out that they might just collect more talent. And I would love to see it from a standpoint of how much Cowboys fans, including the aforementioned RJ Ochoa, we're just thirsting after OBJ. So it would be very funny to see the pivot from all of them being like, oh, we never even wanted him after like writing a billion articles about him.
You know, one thing was kind of weird from the Sirianni press conference, though. I had actually asked Sirianni a few weeks ago about signing Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph and how much he cared or how much it mattered in terms of both of those guys having won Super Bowls in their careers. Because, of course, if you'll recall, they signed a bunch of guys leading up, like during the 2017 season when they won a Super Bowl, they added a bunch of players in season who had previously won Super Bowls. So I thought that was, you know, maybe signing Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph factored into that in some small way. And he kind of agreed with that. And like he said, you know, I don't know that we necessarily sign those guys because of that reason, but certainly it's a bonus and blah, 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 blah. Then yesterday, I think on Wednesday, Jeff McClain asked him a similar question. I guess about adding players with Super Bowl experience or whatever. And he just completely dismissed it. So it was weird that he gave, you know, an agreement answer on that a few weeks ago. But then yesterday he kind of shut that down. So I don't know what to make of that, whether that was sort of a defense mechanism against the OBJ thing. But it is weird that he did answer that question two different ways, you know, 3 or 4 weeks apart.
Last thing we have in the news is that it looks like Quez Watkins is practicing today. The Eagles first he was listed as limited on Wednesday, but they didn't walk through. He's out there today, as is Kaiser White. So it seems like those guys are probably on track to play this weekend, I would guess. I don't think Sean Bradley is practicing again, so he might miss this week. But final injury report will be out on Friday. And then, as you noted, the Eagles have until Saturday 4 p.m. to make any roster moves they want to make before the Week 14 game against the New York Football Giants. Jimmy, why don't we go to break here, but not before I tell you about Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. Jimmy, what is your favorite Righteous Felon
Craft Jerky? I'm going to go OG Hickory.
That's like the standard flavor. That's what the Eagles have at the NovaCare. You've seen that?
With your, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the one they have. That's the one they get. I think it's hard to go wrong. Like, you know, if you don't know what to get, you see all these flavors, you know, let's try the original. Probably can't go wrong, especially if you like a savory. I think that's probably one of their more savory options. But a lot of good flavors available at righteousfelon.com, including for the biltong, the Nelson Mandela. So if you like, you know, a bit of a pickle flavor, you can kind of get that in there. I like the Bourbon Franklin, which has that like sweet, but not too sweet, not overpoweringly aspect to it. So the Marilyn Monroe, also very good. A little bit of a, you know, like crab fry, you know,
yeah.
That seasoning kind of good. So there's a lot of different fun options that you can try, all the flavors available. And you can try them all if you get like the package. And that's the thing. If you see Righteous Felon Crown Craft Jerky in the stores, you get a pack, you try it out, decide you like it, or maybe you order a pack one time. And once you decide you really like it, then you can just get like the whole pack and save by buying in bulk. And you get a discount on buying by bulk by using discount code BGN20 at righteousfelon.com for 20% off. A great stocking stuffer idea, holiday gifts, all that. And limited time only, 20% off. It'll go back down to 15 at some point. So you want to use BGN20 right now at righteousfelon.com for 20% off before it goes back down to 15. Jimmy.
Yeah, actually, my brother-in-law, Ronnie Cakes. Ronnie Cakes, if you're listening, earmuffs. I'm gonna use the BGN20.
Boom,
and get him the package of, you know, all the different flavors for Christmas.
Awesome.
So okay, on earmuffs, Ronnie Cakes, Brandon.
Oh, how would he know that if he's earmuffs? He must earmuffs.
I don't know how often he listens to the podcast.
He can't hear you. Tell him to take him off.
I don't know if he listens.
But we will be
like ever. Back after.
Oh, wait, you're frozen. Now you're back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, frozen. I don't know how often or if ever he listens to the podcast, but hopefully he listened to my earmuffs instructions so that he doesn't know what he's getting for Christmas.
Regardless if he's surprised or not, he's going to really enjoy the gift. We can, that much we can be sure of.
Yeah.
No doubt. Back after this.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Back here on BGN Radio, Jimmy, it's time to get into an Eagles-Giants preview.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got? Who are the New York
Giants? Where do you want to start? You want to go Eagles offense, Giants defense, or the other way around?
I think I want to go 1,000-foot overview real quick, where the Giants are, what, now 7-4-1 after tying the Commanders. They are 1-3-1 in their last five games, so they had that hot start. They've struggled since, and the one win is over the Houston Texans, and it was a one-score game. So that's who the Giants have been recently, not a very super scary team. But I think they are playing above their talent level. I think Brian Daboll has a good job. So I think that's who the Giants are overall. And I think we've said multiple times as we've like made picks for them throughout the year and on the mixtape, they're not a team that really beats themselves. They kind of just hang around, and that's who they've been more often than not.
Yeah, they've slowed down a bit. Started, what, 7-2? And they're 0-2-1 in their last three games. And I think we're seeing injuries take their toll with this team. And I think we're seeing some of their best players give out a bit after really being relied on heavily through the first, you know, 9-10 games of the season. Saquon Barkley being example number one on that front. First of all, the Giants have been one of the most run-heavy teams in the NFL. They're actually the fifth most run-heavy team in the league. They're actually at exactly 50% run versus pass this season. But in the first nine games, Saquon rushed 198 times, which is a lot, in nine games, for 931 yards, 4.7 yards per carry, six touchdowns. The last game of that nine-game stretch was against the Houston Texans, a game during which he carried 35 times.
Jeez.
They needed him to carry the ball 35 times against the Houston Texans
to win by one away. Score.
And he has not been the same player since. So last three games, 44 rushes, 124 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. Did score twice. So he looked very much like the explosive player that we saw him be in his rookie season and earlier in his career. Starting to slide off of that a little bit down the stretch here, and understandably so. It'll be interesting to see what version of him the Eagles get on Sunday. But on that note, Daniel Jones, obviously a threat with his legs. And as always, you know, one of the matchups to look in this game, the Eagles run defense against an opposing team's rushing attack. And for a good reason, like the Eagles are facing all these run heavy teams like the Titans last week. The Commanders have actually been the most run heavy team in the NFL since Taylor Heineke took over. The Texans basically just tried to run the ball a lot because they knew they couldn't throw it on the Eagles. And then, of course, the Eagles coming up have the Bears, who are they the most run heavy team in the NFL? Yes, they are. And then they have the Cowboys, which are the sixth most run heavy team in the NFL. And then they'll get the Giants again down the stretch. So this is like a theme that's not going to go away. The Eagles did a phenomenal job on last Sunday against, you know, Derrick Henry and the Titans, completely shutting down their rushing attack. He had, what, 11 carries for 30 yards, I believe, in that game. So the Eagles are, you know, playing a lot better. They certainly have the personnel to shut down the run with those six defensive tackles that they have and a couple of defensive ends who play the run well. Josh Sweat and more so Brandon Graham. They have, you know, very physical, smart Mike linebacker, of course, in TJ Edwards. They have Reed Blankenship, who's more of a run or, you know, run stopping oriented safety than he is a coverage guy. So they have certainly the personnel. It's just a matter of, is Jonathan Gannon going to prioritize shutting down the run over his typical preference of first shutting down the pass? And I think in this matchup, it makes a lot of sense to do that like they did against the Titans, because this team is really light on playmakers at the wide receiver position. They lost Sterling Shepard for the season with an ACL tear. They lost Wandell Robinson, their second round pick this year, rookie wide receiver with an ACL tear. Colin Johnson was a guy who was getting first team reps during training camp, and a lot of people were hyping him up, saying that they were expecting maybe a breakout year out of him. They lost him with an Achilles tear close to the start of the season. He wound up not playing in any games. And then, of course, they traded Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs. So what they're left with is Eagle killer Darius Slayton instead of Darius Slay. who has burned Slay in the past, has had good games against the Eagles, but not so much against, you know, many other teams. He's by far their most dangerous receiver at this point. He's got 500 something yards. I forget how many touchdowns, but he's averaging over 17 yards per catch. If the Giants can establish the run and they can use play action, you know, the Eagles have to worry about him making plays down the field. And otherwise, they really just don't have much. They have guys like Richie James, David Sills. Who am I missing here? Doesn't matter. It's really just a sort of a Isaiah Hodgins is another one that's off the top of my head. But yeah, they have basically just sort of a bunch of just a guys, Jags, that really aren't very threatening. So yeah, the game plan for the Eagles should be very clear here. Basically, once again, you know, the Jim Schwartz style of defense where shut down the run, make the other offense one dimensional, and then get after the quarterback. I think that's a recipe that should serve them well in this game.
Giants also had Marcus Johnson, the former Eagle. He's still on the team, right? Or
he is, yes.
Is he even playing anymore? So I opened up Our Lads to look at this, and then it gave me the 2021 September version, which I don't know why he keeps doing that. So it freaks me out. It throws me off each time. I'm like, wait, I don't see his name. Okay, so he's still on the team. Yeah. The fact that Marcus Johnson, who is like a fifth and then turned into sixth receiver on the 2017 Eagles, is one of the Giants' like top options. Kind of.
Oh, Kenny! I didn't even mention Kenny Galladay.
Yeah,
and Kenny Galladay, one of the worst free agent signings in the last 10 years in the NFL.
And I like Marcus Johnson, by the way. I'm not trying to rag on him. I'm just saying, like, you know, you're not in the best situation if he's one of your very best options at this point. They're just not in a great situation. When the Giants were winning earlier this year, I think they had an identity, and that was Saquon Barkley. he was their identity. So the fact that he's taken such a big step back, and I think there's multiple reasons why that's been the case. You look at the wear and tear that you mentioned. You look at the fact that these receiving threats just aren't very threatening. Then that kind of allows teams to dedicate more resources to stopping the run. You also look at how earlier in the season, the Giants had some offensive line continuity building. Yep. And now they've had injuries. So there's multiple reasons why his effectiveness has declined, not only in terms of like average and efficiency, but also, and this goes hand in hand with that, but you look at his like biggest play in a lot of these games recently as a receiver or a runner, and they're just not that long. He's not hitting he's not this big play threat right now. So I just jinxed that. And sure enough, he'll probably do that against the Eagles. You don't really fear him right now. I don't think he's a scary matchup the way he would have been more so earlier in the year. And to be able to shut him down and kind of put the game on Daniel Jones, who more than ever has done a good job of not turning the ball over in a dumb way. But I think there's going to be more pressure on him to make plays. And I do think that the Eagles can't get themselves into a spot where this is like the Commanders game again. And they're necessarily, because that's the Giants' way to win, right? Offensively, is they should try to play ball control offense and keep the Eagles off the field as much as they can. Try to get into third and shorts and convert and continue to move down the field. Use Daniel Jones' legs to help out where they can and have that pitch in and keep the Eagles off the field. And, again, I don't think that's necessarily an easy way to win, but I do think that's how probably their best way to win offensively.
Yeah. You mentioned the offensive line too. So Dave Gettleman always prioritized the way that he said a quote about the hog mollies, building along the offensive and defensive line. So I thought he was right in prioritizing that. He just stunk at picking good players. Eventually he did land on Andrew Thomas, who is playing like a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle this year. So that eventually became a hit. Under their new front office leadership, you know, they added Evan Neal, who's starting at right tackle. He's a 6'7", 350-pound athletic beast of a human being. Has really struggled this year. It's going to take some time for him to adjust to the NFL, but he's got all the tools and traits and whatever, just not playing very well as a rookie. So I think that's a matchup they can exploit both with Brandon Graham and Hassan Reddick. And then on the interior, they got a bunch of just the guys where they added some Band-Aids this offseason in Mark Glowinski at right guard, in John Feliciano, who was in Buffalo previously. So, you know, had that experience with Brian Daboll, knows, you know, sort of what Brian Daboll wants to do offensively. And then at left guard, they've had sort of a mix of guys. It looks like Nick Gates will probably start there, but they have other guys like Ben Bredesen, who was their normal starter. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Like, it's just going to be a you know, just a guy. Whoever's in there at left tackle.
An article you did too. You're like, they might activate this guy. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. It's just going to be another guy at left guard. They do have some depth there. So if they lose a guy in game, not that big of a deal. But yeah, it's just not a very good line yet. They have one very, very good player, and then otherwise just a bunch of guys. So I think this is another matchup that the Eagles can win on that side of the ball. But I think they're at least on the right track in terms of prioritizing that part of their roster. It just is going to take some time.
I'm looking at this tweet from Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants, and it just
I love Art Stapleton.
This clicked in my head, but the tweet is Giants OC Mike Kafka scheming against Brandon Graham, who is in his draft class with the Eagles. Jeez, I never really thought about
that's
that.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's just nuts.
Look at that.
So good call out by him. That's wild.
He's been a coach for a while now. That's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. And BG's still doing it, man. BG still looks great. Walter Payton, right. That should have been in the news segment, by the way. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. My guy, BLG, Brandon Lee Graham, Walter Payton, man of the year nominee for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Really hope he wins. That'd be great. It really, you know, I like the little paraphernalia. I don't know what you would call it. Like, that is on different jerseys, for example, you know, like when an Eagles player or a player at all as a captain for 5 or more years, they get the gold C, which I think is cool. Like Fletcher Cox and Kelsey have that now. Or you get, you know, additional stars each year before that. And then for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, you get the little, you know, Walter Payton symbol, the award symbol. So I think that would be fun if BG gets that and gets to play.
Where he's wearing the coat.
Yeah, wearing the coat. Because the Eagles kind of got robbed of that because Chris Long had that award, but then he retired. So we never got to see what that looked like on a jersey because he got it right and then he retired. Okay. So I'd like to see kind of Brandon Graham be able to win that because I think he's deserving, first of all. But secondly, so it'd be cool to just kind of see that little logo because also I think it would help people who might not appreciate the Eagles or know the Eagles really a lot or know Brandon Graham, like, oh, wow, that guy was a Walton Payton Man of the Year winner. Like, that's really cool. He must be a really, you know, good dude and good player. And he is. So I think he deserves that. Anyway, tangent aside, we can flip over. Well, that brings us to the defense anyway, talking about the Eagles defense versus – no, we already did that. Sorry. The Eagles – now we're going to the Eagles offense versus the Giants defense. And, I mean – what do you do to stop the Eagles offense right now? There really isn't a stopping of that. Giants defense has not been good by any kind of metric. They're like, you know, in the 20s, mid 20s in any kind of like DVOA metric. Ed Valentine, who I mentioned earlier from Big Blue View, wrote in an article, I think I have it here on Big Blue View. He was talking about some things to watch out for this week's matchup. And I think I might use this for my link headline on Friday morning, spoiler alert. He said it is, quote, laughable that they could stop the Eagles' run game. They are terrible in run defense. They give up 5.1 yards per rushing attempt, 30th in the league, and are 26th in rushing yards allowed per game at 141.1. They don't have impact off-ball linebackers. They give up the edge too often. They have Dexter Lawrence, but we don't know if they'll have Leonard Williams because he missed Wednesday's practice. And as you noted with Lawrence, he's had to play a lot of snaps. They're not rotating him like the Eagles are rotating, you know, Fletcher Cox and Dave on Hargrave right now. And he's coming off an overtime game. So he had to play like even more snaps than he normally does.
They can't rotate him. It's really why. Yeah. He played 77 snaps in that game, which is nuts. He's been easily their best defensive player this year.
Oh, he's been great. But they have
two other defensive tackles whose names are escaping me right now, but they're on injured reserve right now. They're backups, but they're rotational guys that have Nick something actually I'll look started. Him up. Nick Williams, I think it was, started the first X number of games for them. He's on injured reserve. And then there's another guy whose name is escaping me that is a rotational guy. Those guys are out. So he's had to play a large number of snaps. Leonard Williams had to come out of that game last week, and I'm pretty sure he didn't return. So his status for this week is up in the air, as you mentioned, with that neck injury. Mm-hmm. But in addition to being thin on the defensive line, they are really thin in the secondary. So their week one starting cornerbacks were Adoree Jackson, who is their best corner and who didn't practice on Wednesday and has missed the last two games for the Giants. And Aaron Robinson, a recent draft pick of theirs, was a week one starter. He played one game.
Notably drafted before Milton Williams.
That's right. And then they traded out of that pick and then I mean, a few spots back, and then
Tom Donahoe got.
Of course,
mad.
There was the big fit in the drawer in the draft room. So yeah, their two week one starters are likely going to. Well, one Robinson's definitely out, and Adoree Jackson probably will be. They're missing Xavier McKinney, who is the starting safety and who injured his hand in Cabo during the Giants' bye week. He's missed their last four games. Probably isn't going to play in this game. So what do you do if you're the Giants? And the answer probably is just blitz the crap out of the Eagles. The way the Commanders beat the Eagles, not just because they controlled the ball for 40 minutes, was they got three turnovers.
Sure.
Four turnovers if you count, if you're including the pitch drill at the end of the game. But realistically, more like three turnovers. If you can turn the Eagles over, maybe you have a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. And if you can blitz the crap out of them and maybe force some kind of bad decision or something like that Jalen Hurts really just hasn't had many of this year.
And maybe he's been better against the blitz, more recently.
For sure, he's been – yeah. Of course, if you blitz and the Eagles pick it up, or they have a max protect on with deep shots down the field, or they time up one of their screens which they've been pretty good at, or if Jalen Hurts is able to hit a hot, then
or he makes someone miss and he takes off running and there's no one there to tackle him anymore. Yeah,
like you're really thin on the back end in terms of being able to cover guys like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Quez Watkins. So, it's pick your poison. Man. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and just let them carve you apart? Or are you going to really go
like
after
the
them and leave yourself susceptible to huge plays down the field? So that defense is in big trouble, in my opinion, against the Eagles. I was a little surprised, actually, that the line was only 7.
So they did do a good job against Lamar Jackson earlier this year, which I guess that maybe they'll try to employ a similar game plan there. Now, the receiving talent that the Eagles have versus the receiving talent that the Ravens had, especially at that time, because I don't think they had Deshaun yet in that game either.
O-line, too, by the way.
Yes. So, I don't know what the Ravens really have going on at running back, but I think the Eagles might have a better. I can't say for sure.
Yeah, they've had guys in and out of the lineup. Like, J.K. Dobbins has been hurt. Gus Edwards is, sort of in and out of the lineup.
Right.
I can't speak super intelligently on them, but I think the Eagles' rushing attack has been certainly a lot more stable than the Ravens this year.
Also, Jalen Hurts has been way better than Lamar this year. Go look up Lamar's numbers. Yes. Has not been the same Lamar Jackson that you might think of when you think of his name. Yeah. Certainly, and most people would trust the Eagles coaching staff too over Greg Roman and what the Ravens have going offensively. So yes, I don't think that just because they did well against Lamar doesn't mean they will for sure do the same against the Eagles. But the point being, like, they have faced this year a mobile quarterback to some extent, so I'm sure they'll have some ideas of what they do want to do and what did work for them, what didn't work for them. And it should be noted that Jalen Hurts had his worst game of his career at MetLife Stadium last year. Yeah. That was Patrick Graham. It's a different coordinator, different coaching staff. So, but some of the players are still similar, some of the same players. And, I don't think that was like a game, especially now, that was characteristic of Jalen Hurts, because then he played against the Giants at the Link a couple of weeks later and he was much better. So I don't think it's like the Giants own him. But still worth noting that he had like a really bad game against their personnel in the past. So I'm sure he has not forgotten that. And I'm sure he wants to play a lot better at MetLife this time around. Anything else defensively?
If I recall, I think they were the first team that really sort of leaned into the idea of like, don't let him roll right. If anything, make him stay in the pocket or make him move to his left and throw on his run to the left. And he has certainly fixed those issues in terms of spreading the ball all over the field, as opposed to being, heavy on the right side like he was throughout the entirety of the 2021 season, really. Those are issues that they fixed. But again, like you said, it's a totally different coaching staff, and they'll probably have a totally different plan for how they attack him or hope to attack him anyway.
Yeah.
And also, that's about all I have for the Eagles offense against their defense.
I also know it's a year old, so maybe no one's actually saying this, but it just bothered me. I was thinking about it earlier this week. He was like, so I will say, in fairness to Jalen Hurts, he did get banged up in that game. His ankle, that's that game. Uh-huh. I remember when that happened. But people were like, oh, we still had him in it at the end. It's just Rager dropped the touchdown. I'm sorry. If you're in a position where you need a Jalen Rager touchdown to win the game, you've already failed. You're done. You can't put yourself in a situation where you need that to win. Anyway, but that kind of making that more relevant to this game, like, don't be in a position where, let's say, you need that last score touchdown. Maybe I feel like you should be in a spot where you don't need that. You should be able to beat this team, not blow them out necessarily, but you should be able to beat them where it doesn't come down to a last game play.
Yeah,
that's all you've got.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say more when we make our pick. But as far as Eagles offense versus their defense, yeah, I think that's all I got.
What about the premier matchup of this entire timeline that we live in? Special Kristen teams. Roach versus people who need to wait. What would the matchup be?
Yeah, who's Kristen her? Roach who's versus, like who, who's her enemy?
The people Kristen out there.
Kristen Roach versus bad real estate deals.
Yeah, there you go.
She won't have it because she is voted by God as the best realtor in the history of the universe. And if you're looking to buy or sell a house, please do call or text her at 856-906-9295. Again, 856-906-9295. Or go to roachrealtors.com. Again, Kristen Roach, super realtor, super lady. Brandon?
Back after this.
Kristen Rocha, Roach Realtors, Roach Realtors, Roach Realtors. Kristen Rocha, Roach Realtors.
She's the greatest.
856-906-9295.
856-906-9295.
Back here on BGN Radio, time to make our NFL picks against the spread, Eagles straight up pick, all that good stuff. But before we do, Jimmy, every week this season, that's right, every week, we'll be cooking up our own parlay that our good friends at DraftKings will put right on their homepage for all of you, the loyal BGN Radio listeners, and Bleeding Green Nation readers, to follow. Last week, Jimmy, the same game parlay hit. I did A.J. Brown.
Is that your first one?
Second one this season. I forget the first one, but it's at least the second. A.J. Brown, anytime touchdown. A.J. Brown over 94.5 yards. And I did the Eagles money line. Should have done the spread, but I did the money line. Yeah. And if you bet $10 on that, you netted $50. So not bad.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So we'll see if we
can. Plus 500?
Yeah. So we'll see if we can make some people some money again. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet. Maybe an under on Saquon yardage might be in play there. Any good ideas?
Going low on that?
Yeah, or I'll take high? The under. Well, yeah, you know, I'll look up the numbers. I'll look up his stats and craft the right number that makes sense. But I'll probably take an under of some sort on him. You know, decent odds. So we get the people some money here. So we'll do that. Probably do an Eagles money line. And then another thing. We'll see. Maybe like a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown. We'll see. But stay tuned to that because it'll be available on the Bleeding Green Nation Twitter account and Bleeding Green Instagram account on game day. That's at Bleeding Green on Twitter, at Bleeding Green Insta on Instagram. Each week, DraftKings has new offers and great ways to make your Sunday more fun. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Jimmy, before we even make any picks, because usually we'd get into the Saints game first here.
Mm-hmm.
But the Saints are on their bye because, well, not because, but after losing to the Buccaneers, which was a huge comeback, there's very few times as an Eagles fan where you can really root for Tom Brady and feel great about it. But this is one of those times because the Eagles needed the Saints to lose that game, and the Saints blew a 13-point lead, and their playoff odds dropped from like 28% or whatever it would have been with a win to below 1% mm-hmm. with a loss. Yeah. So that was a huge crushing, like, season-ending loss for them.
I had fallen asleep during that game when they were down by two scores and it looked like they were hopeless. I woke up and they had the ball and they were driving and like to possibly win the game, and I was like, oh, how did this happen? And then sure enough, they scored and it got called back by a penalty, and then they scored again on a, it was like a 15-yard pass or something like that. It doesn't matter, who cares. But the Buccaneers won, and as you note, a huge swing in terms of the Saints' possibility. I mean, there was going to be a low probability that they were going to make the playoffs anyway, but this just pretty much shut the door on it, all but guaranteeing the Eagles, at a minimum, getting a top 18 pick, with them not, you know, almost certainly not making the playoffs. But more realistically, that pick is going to land somewhere in the top 10. And if they're lucky, it'll be top five. And the only teams ahead of them right now are the Texans, who
they've clinched the number one effectively, but effectively.
Bryce Young is going to be a Texan. And then, I don't know. We'll see. But the Texans, and then it's the Rams, it's the Bears, and it's got to be an AFC team, right? Broncos?
Rams. Well, the Lions via the Rams, but yeah.
Yeah, right. So, and then what was the other team, the Broncos? They have three
wins. The Seahawks
wins.
Via the Broncos.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, as far as teams that, like, the Eagles will be rooting for the rest of the season, so their picks land later.
Yes, they'll be rooting for the Broncos, the
Eagles are going to be Rams fans,
the Bears,
Broncos fans.
Except when the Eagles play the Bears.
All right, and Bears fans, other than when they play them.
Although that would be a silver lining to a really bad upset.
Bears have a crazy hard record the rest of the season, too. Like, it's out of control. Hardest in the NFL. Anyway, we'll see where that pick eventually lands.
Justin Fields losing six straight.
The Eagles are going to be in an amazing position. If that pick lands top five, basically what you have is three quarterbacks that a lot of people are projecting to go in the top five. They'd be Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis from Kentucky. We'll see how all that remains, you know, in December. It always changes between now and the draft. But if those three guys are ultimately projected to be top five, that's amazing for the Eagles, because then they're going to be able to draft guys like Will Anderson from Alabama, the edge rusher, or Jalen Carter, who is another elite kind of prospect, defensive tackle from Georgia. If those two guys, if one of those two guys are gone, or if one of those quarterbacks is still available and they're like top five, some team wants to move up, pay some kind of king's ransom for the Eagles to move out, and they just keep acquiring like number one picks in the future indefinitely. That would be very fun too, from like a coverage perspective. It's amazing that the Eagles are playing as well as they are right now, but also figure to be major players in this upcoming draft is very exciting for Eagles fans. And let me ask you this: if you had to pick a three draft slot window, where do you think that Saints pick will end up?
Go big or go home, Jimmy. I'm gonna say, three, four, five. I'm gonna say it's a top five.
Three
pick.
To five.
So here's the remaining games, by the way. So they play the Falcons, returning from their bye. It's a home game. Almost lost to the Falcons earlier this year. Very frustratingly. The Falcons choked it. Falcons are putting in Ridder, so maybe that gives them a boost. Maybe not.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's interesting.
At least I don't think I'm mistaken there. I thought I saw that. So we'll see. Then they play the Browns in Cleveland. I'm going to mark that down as a loss on Christmas Eve. Play the Eagles. Eagles own them. I don't need to get into the specifics of the matchup. We'll get it at the time. But
the Eagles will probably still need that game, too. I don't think they'll be in rest starters mode. Actually, they definitely need that. Well, no, not necessarily.
Depends how the Dallas game goes.
And the Vikings, if they still need that for the one seed.
Make their pick better and to beat the Saints and make the pick even higher. Yeah. And then they close the season with a home game against the Panthers. So I think they could lose out. I think 1-3 at the very best is what I'll say. They go 1-3 at best, but they might even lose out.
If they go 1-3 the rest of the way, then it's going to be a top five pick.
Yeah.
Because all the other teams ahead of them are, I mean, how many other three win teams are there?
The Bears.
I'm sorry. How many other four win teams are there?
Oh,
I think there's a bunch.
There's
of
a
them.
Bunch.
There's like four or five.
One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. There's at least five, including them.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now that we've spent a lot of time on that, Jimmy, I will remind everyone of our records.
Okay.
We went 0-4 last week. So tough
did
week
I
for
really?
You. Yeah, you took the Colts to cover, which is a tough one. Although the game was close for a bit until that inexplicable interception was called not an interception, and then the Cowboys blew him out after that. And then I went 1-3. So I'm now 26-23-1 against the spread. You are the opposite in terms of 23-26-1 against the spread. We're both 10-2 straight up. All right.
On our Eagles picks, you mean? Yeah.
Where do you think I'm going to start with the games this week?
Dallas.
No, curveball.
Houston.
We are going to Detroit because I figured it made sense to talk about this matchup with the Vikings threatening, in theory, for the number one seed still.
Because the Commanders have their bye week this week too, right?
Yes. Yeah. So it only been in two games otherwise. So I figured we should at least talk about three. Vikings are actually 2-point underdogs despite having 10 wins against the 5-7 Detroit Lions. Who do you like in that matchup?
Jalen Reagor.
Oh, you stole my thunder at this.
Oh, God, I'll leave it alone then.
I mean, this is going to be my lock of the week on the SB Nation NFL show.
You go first then.
I mean, if Jalen Reagor is out here making a guarantee that the Vikings are going to win, they're obviously not going to win. It's just the worst possible vibes you could have. If you're a Vikings fan and you see that, you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose to the Lions. That is awful. There's a reason why the Lions are favored in this game. Like, Vegas knows. This is like a Vegas knows kind of line to me. This is not an accident. This is not just the public betting this. They know the Vikings aren't as good. The Vikings, you look at like DVOA, like any of these advanced metrics, they're not as good as their record says they are. They're 9-0 in 1-point games. They're due. They're due for bad luck. You do not sustain success in one score games at that level to go 9-0. You just do not. They're absolutely due. And the Lions have turned it around a little bit here. And their offense is cooking. And Jameson Williams is back. Didn't do much last week, but that was his first game. Maybe he's a little bit more involved this week. Mm-hmm. Give me the freaking Lions to cover 2 points.
Well, I thought it was 2.5, but that's okay. I'm taking the Vikings. I'm taking the Vikings here.
You're betting on Jalen Reagor?
He's not going to play at all. I'm not betting on Jalen Reagor.
The vibes are there, Jimmy, and they're bad.
But yeah, the bad Jalen Reagor vibes. How do we still not know what the trade conditions are on the Jalen? Come on.
You know what, Howie?
I don't even need to break it myself. Just tell the National. Just put it out there so we can have a Jalen Reagor tracker.
I mean,
come on.
It's not just for us. It's for the fans. The fans want to know this. The fans want to have a rooting interest and be involved. You're depriving the fans. Exactly. Stop depriving the fans.
And they'll turn into Jalen Reagor fans because it's
right.
Some success metric for Jalen Reagor.
Right.
Without knowing what it is, they'll just keep hating Jalen Reagor.
Yeah. And it's not like Vikings fans are going to root against him. They don't, then, you know, whatever. They're not super invested in that part of it.
So I'm taking the Vikings because I do still think they're better than the Lions. I am with certainly Vegas, odds makers, whatever you want to call them, in terms of what you just said. They're not as good as their record would indicate. The line is very, it's a very interesting line.
Or like
line,
a telling like, line, I should say. Maybe not fishy. Yeah. It's a telling line. Like, it's like, wait, why are they favorite? No, there's a reason why they're favorite.
Yeah. But I do still think the Vikings are better. So I'm going to take the Vikings. And I'll also say, like, for Eagles fans out there, like, this is a perfect emotional hedge kind of bet to make where you take the Vikings. And if they win, then yay, money. And if they don't win, well, it helps the Eagles. And if they lose by one, you get the best of both worlds. So
there you go. Also good for the Eagles in terms of potentially an NFC East team falling out of the wild card picture if the Lions continue to go on a run here. Not likely, but it's possible. And keeping the Lions below the Saints pick in that draft order, which I think will happen anyway, but, you know, they'll take it. And, you know, the one seed, like you said, the one seed, more having more cushion for that. So, yeah, go Lions. Texans are 17-point underdogs in Arlington.
Oh, that went up then.
Yeah, 17-point favorites are the Cowboys at home. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Texans stink. They don't have anything going for them. The Cowboys, as we've seen, are very capable of putting up a ton of points. So I will take the Cowboys to cover, and it's really an easy call to me. It's not a lot of points. It's not a lot of points to a Texans team that the other week was just down 30-0 before the Dolphins put their backups in like early in the second half. So Texans stink. I'll take the Cowboys.
Texans are pretty much tanking, I think, because why wouldn't Davis Mills be playing? Like, not that Davis Mills is good, but he hasn't been.
I think they're putting him in again.
Oh, they are. Okay. Because he has not been egregiously bad, but they benched him for Kyle Allen. Like, GTFOH on that. Like, are you kidding me? What do you need to see from Kyle Allen? Anyway, they're the worst team in the NFL. And let's be real. Like, Dallas is playing. Dallas is a good team, and they can smash these weaker opponents, which I think they're going to do here. I hate laying this many points, but I also just can't get myself to, to take the Texans here either. So I guess I'll take the Cowboys and I'll lay the 17.
The best reason you can say is it's the NFL and it's hard to cover that much, but that's just like, I don't know. That's not enough for me. Give me something to like hang your hat on with the Texans if you're going to take them. And I just don't think you can take anything other than the best thing I can say is the Cowboys have had some issues against the run and Damian Pierce has looked good. So I don't know if he turns into like Walter Payton or whoever in this game, maybe, but probably not. All right. That brings us to the Eagles versus Giants game where Giants are dangerous. As an underdog, they have the best record in the NFL this year as an underdog, 9-3. Or sorry, against the spread in total, 9-3.
Yeah.
And they're 7-1 as underdogs against the spread. So
they've been underdogs in 8 games, huh? That's interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a dangerous position to be in, betting against Brian Daboll in that sense. But I don't know, man. I just think the vibes have not been good with the Giants. I think this 1-3-1 record in their 5 games is more telling of who they are now. More so than the team they were earlier in the year, kind of getting fortunate with these one score finishes, kind of like the Vikings have been, but it hasn't bit them yet. And there was that point when it was coming out of their bye that they were playing the Texans and Lions next. And I said at the time, like, they're going to lose one of these two. They're just due for it. And sure enough, they got crushed by the Lions. And I think they're due for more losing. They don't have their identity that they were winning with earlier in the year with Saquon being great. And I know it's a division game. I know those can be tough, but and I know they lost to the Giants last year at MetLife. Then again, they also beat them at the Link, and I know the game is still on the road, but I feel like Jalen Hurts is playing at such a high level. He's earning benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to take them to cover. I'm going to say it's going to be like a 3-6 point game, somewhere around there, like late-ish, and then the Eagles go on one of these drives where they just close out the game, and then they end up winning by like 10 to 13 points.
Okay. I too have the Eagles. I too have the Eagles covering. And for me, it's very simple. Jalen Hurts is a way better quarterback than Daniel Jones. The Eagles have a better rushing attack. The Eagles have a better passing attack. The Eagles have a better pass rush. The Eagles have a better, a way better pass defense. The Eagles can also stop the run, evidently better than I didn't even realize the Giants' inability to stop the run until you mentioned they were 30th in the NFL, giving up 5.1 yards per carry or whatever it was. Before you said that. So the Eagles are pretty much better in every facet that you can pretty much sum it up. So give me the Eagles very simply I'll lay the 7. And I think they win this game very comfortably. There have been times throughout the year where, you know, I've looked at a very clearly inferior opponent and have kind of gone, oh, maybe they're not so bad. Like they're not as bad as I sort of expected them to be after taking a closer look. Like the Colts, for example, were that team earlier this year. And I kind of expected the Giants to not wow me, taking a closer look at them leading up to this game. And I actually came away with a lesser opinion than them when I had already kind of thought all year that they were, you know, a very overachieving, not as good as their record kind of team. They're just so banged up, you know, as we mentioned throughout the second segment, both in their secondary, along their defensive line, you know, kind of along their offensive line, and then at the wide receiver position, certainly. And then, of course, the notion that Saquon Barkley could be slowing down because of his overusage earlier in the season. So I just don't see the Giants having really much, many paths to winning this game. Certainly they can, but the paths to winning this game are few and far between, I think. And I think the Eagles are just a way far superior team. They have plenty to play for, and they're rolling right now, and I think they keep it going.
I agree, and it's really Eagles fans, if you're looking to take joy in Giants fans' pain, and this will be a painful loss for them because they lose this game, they're like, oh no, like things are kind of, I mean, it's, I think it's been overall, you know, an encouraging season in terms of the arrow pointing up for the long term, but they lose this game. They dropped to what? 7-5-1.
They'll be 7-5-1 along with the Commanders who are on their bye.
They have the Commanders next week who are coming off their bye, and the game's at FedEx. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, they might, and if they don't win that game, then they're 7-6-1 with a road game against the Vikings after that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, this slide could kind of really continue here if they don't win this game. So
that schedule quirk too, by the way, where like, the Giants played the Commanders last week and then. The Commanders have a bye, the Giants have to play the best team in the NFL and the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then the Giants play the Commanders again. So the Commanders basically have been preparing for the Giants for like three straight weeks. Whereas the Giants have to play the Commanders, then the best team in the NFL, and then the Commanders again. Whereas the Commanders play the Giants bye week Giants. When does that ever happen where you play the same team twice in a row, in their case with a bye in between? But that's crazy. That's like a major disadvantage to the Giants. And I mean, nobody feels bad for the Giants, but that is sort of a screw job by the NFL schedule makers there.
Any final thoughts, Jimmy?
I don't know. I'll pass on my final thought this week. How about that?
So I mentioned Red Crest Kitchen here a couple times. It's a place you should check out for dinner. So they have really nice, good dinners there. I've been multiple times already. Very good. But in addition to that, they're doing the day service pickup or delivery chicken. So I think they're planning to do, like, you know, the pieces of chicken like they used to in the future. But right now they're just doing like chicken sandwiches, their tenders, and then a popcorn chicken. And I tried some of all three, Jimmy, on Wednesday. And I have to say, the chicken tenders, especially to me, S tier. Are you familiar with that term?
S tier? No.
Yeah, S tier is above A. I forget. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, sorry. I hope I'm not wrong about this. I think in Eastern cultures, they have like S above A in terms of their grading system. Like that's okay. It's not just A. So yeah, it's S tier. It's elite. It's great. So get some of their tenders. You're going to certainly not regret doing that Red Crest.
Popcorn chicken is hit and miss, I feel like. I feel like a lot of times you get popcorn chicken, it's like basically just chicken skin. But do they are you saying that they got their popcorn chicken game down?
Yeah, so the tenders to me were like the best thing, S tier, elite, like would not hesitate to get them again. The popcorn chicken was under that, very good. Not as good as the tenders to me, but still very good and definitely not just skin. And then chicken sandwich was very good. I'm more of a white meat guy. Sorry if this offends when it comes to dark meat over chicken.
I like white meat, chicken better than dark meat.
So it's not bad, but it's just not like it's probably not going to be S tier for me. It's still like an A. It's an A chicken sandwich. It's very good. Don't get me wrong. But it's like not like, you know, if I'm picking one of the three, I'm definitely getting the tenders again. They have a bunch of different kind of sauce options too. So yeah, that's my rank.
All right.
This has been BGN Radio, which is powered by Right to Sellin Craft Jerky. You go to righttosellin.com, discount code BGN20 for 20% off your order. I always like to say it doesn't cost you anything to go to the website. The website's free. You click around, you check things out, and then you use the discount code BGN20 for 20% off your order. And then you buy in bulk, you're saving more. So do that. Help support the podcast. Check out Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors and roachrealtors.com. And if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a house, you want to contact this phone number.
856-906-9295.
Follow us on Twitter at Brandon Gowton, at Jimmy Kemsky. On Instagram, at Brandon Gowton, at Jimmy Kemsky. Check out the Bleeding Green Nation social accounts at Bleeding Green, at Bleeding Green Insta, at BGN_radio. And we will talk to you after the Eagles go to the Meadowlands, North Jersey, not New York, it's North Jersey, if you didn't know that, and beat the Giants, advance to 12-2. Sorry, 12-2. Jeez, 12-1.
They're going to win and lose in the same game.
They're going to win and lose.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.